Good morning, Gateway family. We're so happy to see you on this lovely, beautiful summer morning. Please stand with us all who are able as we sing our opening song.
Sing with us, church.
Straight to us as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Straight to us as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong
Gateway. Hope you're all well. Please be seated. Isn't it a wonderful day? Bright sunshine, clear blue skies. It's really a day that our Lord has made, and we can rejoice in Him. And this morning, I'd just like to welcome you all. I'd like to welcome all our visitors. I'd like to welcome those who are on stream with us this morning. And just to let you know, Andre was a little bit worried about law and order in our church. So he invited the police to join us this morning. Brigadier, good morning. Colonel, good morning. Nice to have you all with us. And I just pray that as we worship together this morning, as we prepare for this time of Advent and time for Christmas, we just thought it would be so wonderful just to pray with our police this morning. It's a busy time of season for them. For some of us, it's holiday. But as I understand it, no policeman or woman have holiday during the season. So let's pray for them and just keep them in our thoughts and prayers at this time. This morning, I have asked the Barnard family to light our first Advent candle. So if I can ask you to come forward and to share with us.
Today is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent means coming, and in this season we prepare for the coming of Christ. We light the candle on Advent wreath on the Advent wreath to remind us of the blessings that Christ brings to the world.
The Advent wreath includes many symbols. The wreath is in a circle with no beginning and no ending. This reminds us that there is no beginning and no ending to God, and that God's love and caring for us never ends. The green branches are a sign of ever new life. The candles tell us of the light shining into the world with Jesus Christ. The colors of the Advent candles reminds us of our need for God's help to be the people we should be. The white candle, which we light on Christmas Day, signifies the birth of Jesus.
Today we light the first candle, the candle of hope.
The prophet Jeremiah spoke words of hope to Israel. He talked about the promise of shalom and of a new beginning. We hope and pray for a world of peace and harmony.
Hope is like a flame that warms us and comforts us.
As we light this candle, we celebrate the hope of the prophets and the hope we have in Jesus Christ.
God's promise that Christ will continue to fill our lives and the life of the world with love, joy, and peace. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the flame of hope. As we prepare for Christ's coming, help us to share our hope with others. And just to call upon Jesus, let's just sing the first verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Be seated. Just a reminder of our carol service tonight at 6 p.m. It will be held here at the church, 6 p.m. tonight. I also got an urgent message. Please do not forget to bring fruit mince pies, as we will be having some fellowship afterwards, enjoying some tea, coffee, and fruit mince pies. So, and bring candles. And then also, Janet and France, happy anniversary for today. It's been many years, eh? Long enough, eh? Oh, 40 years in the wilderness. Whoa, okay. Sorry, France, we'll pray for you, brother. And then just a reminder that today, it being Communion Sunday, that we take up money for the Benevolent Fund. So you'll find a basket there and a basket there. So please don't forget to put that in. And then just to give thanks to God, on Thursday we had the outreach and we were able to help 110 folk who needed God's grace. And yeah, it's just a snippet of what happened. It'll come on now. And Christmas is coming too, yes. Have you got it there, guys? Is it coming? Okay. It was a good day, and we thank God for His grace and blessings upon that day. As God has been faithful to us, as God has spoken to us, let us stand and let us worship God together.
As we come into this time of worship and praise, during this Advent time, I just have an important reminder from Paul himself in Romans 1 verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." So as we sing this song, let us rejoice because salvation has come. Let us sing the Lord's Prayer.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. Earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. Earth as in heaven, right here. kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. Your death has in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. Your death has in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. We forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, forever and ever, the kingdom is yours. It's yours,
it's yours,
all yours, the kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours,
it's yours.
Let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Earth as in heaven, right here. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing, yet mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of the Savior, the hope of of salvation.
came and set us free. Salvation is yours. And as we sing now, Lord Jesus, we just invite your holy presence in here. We invite your Holy Spirit in here. Show that in praise to you, our Father, our God. the one that turns situations around, the one that heals in circumstance that we could not even fathom. But most importantly, the one that you have shown us to be. So let us worship and sing praise to our God.
Thank you for this time of worship. Father, we want to thank you that we can come in your presence this morning to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will fall upon Wayne as you bring the word to us, the word that we can take out to the world to proclaim God is great. Our great is God. Amen.
I preach the word. I just feel really strong in my spirit at this time just to call all the youth helpers, young adults who are going on camp. If I can ask you just to stand here in the channel that the elders can pray with you. And if I can just ask, I know this, not all of you are here, but if I can just ask you all to stand there that the elders can pray, just reach out their hands to you. And then I'm going to ask you as a congregation just to reach out your hands towards the youth. They're going on summer camp, and it's a nice summery day, so hopefully there's hope for them. Let's just pray. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, we just praise and thank you for the youth and young adults of our congregation. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for them to go on summer camp. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless them as they go to summer camp. Lord, I pray that for some it will be an opportunity to meet Jesus. Lord, I pray for some that it will be a time to refresh their walk with Jesus. And Lord, for those who are on a good and strong walk with Jesus, I just pray countless blessings upon them and that they will bear more fruit. But Lord, we thank you for our young people. We thank you, Lord, for our youth. We thank you, Lord, for our young adults. And we just pray your blessing upon them now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Can I just ask Michelle to wave at me? Are you here this morning, Michelle? Michelle, no. Okay. All right. Ooh, my slides have gone blank. Okay, I think, there we go. Please join me this morning as I read to us from the Old Testament, from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 10 to 16. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 10 to 16. Let us hear the word of God. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without people or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, they will be heard once more. The sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good; His love endures forever." For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without people or animals, in all its towns, there will again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills of the Negev, and territory of Benjamin, and the villages around Jerusalem, and the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior. May God bless to us the reading of His word. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jeremiah 33 is written in a context where there was no hope. About 700 before Christ, the northern kingdoms of Israel, which were about 10 tribes, were destroyed by their enemy. But two tribes stood fast, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. But roughly 200 years later, the people just didn't seem to learn their lesson. They still sinned against God. And so God needed to teach them who was God. And so they went into exile. The kingdoms of Judah and Benjamin were destroyed by the Assyrian army. They selected those who were the creme de la creme and took them through to the capital city. They ended up in Babylon. And there, you have to understand, there were still a few people around Judah and Benjamin. And all they saw was a place that was desolate. Empty. Destroyed. They were in a place of hopelessness. Have you ever been there? Sometimes in your life, you seem to have everything around you, but yet inside you feel desolate and you feel empty. You feel as if there is no hope. But in the midst of this, in Jeremiah chapter 33, this is a chapter of hope. The nation of Israel may be in the midst of devastation and destruction. They may be in the midst of despair. But God is saying, I'm coming. Interestingly, just a few verses before, in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, we read those well-known words. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Can you imagine being in such despair, thinking that God has forgotten you? 2,000 years ago, Israel again was under foreign occupation by the Romans. They had given up all hope. Even humanity had probably given up hope by that time because they had seen so much sin and evil in the world. And everyone thought God had gone away. God had gone on holiday. But praise God, he did not. But 2,000 years ago, the word of God spoke to a young Jewish girl called Maria, or Mary. And he said to her, in you is the hope of the world. And today, my friends, there is hope in the world. James Deloach writes, I am not a connoisseur of great art, but from time to time, a painting or picture will really speak a clear, strong message to me. Some time ago, I saw a picture of an old, burnt-out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney. The charred debris of what had been that family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old grandfather-looking man, dressed only in his underclothes, with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. It was evident that the child was crying. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. They were simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and a philosophy of life. Those words were, "Hush, child, God ain't dead. Hush, child, God ain't dead." That vivid picture of that burnt out mountain shack, that old man, the weeping child, and those words, "God ain't dead," keep returning to my mind. Instead of being a reminder of the despair of life, it has become to me a reminder of hope. I need reminders that there is hope in this world. Amid all of the troubles and failures of life, I need a mental picture to remind me that all is not lost as long as God is alive and in control of his world. We all need hope. For hope is our help in a time of need. Hope gives us optimism in a world of pessimism. Hope gives us perseverance when times are tough. And hope gives us eternal life. G.K. Chesterton quoted in The Signs of the Times, wrote, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength." There's an Italian proverb that goes something like this: "Hope is the last thing ever lost." Hope is the last thing ever lost. I'm not too sure where you are today. I know for many, when it is this time of year, many people don't really like Christmas or Advent, because sometimes they've probably experienced trauma or have experienced loss or have experienced things that have taken their hope away. But I would want to tell you this morning that your hope is not gone. Hope is here today. Hope is around the corner. I want you to understand that hope reminds us that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Do yourself a favor, go and read Psalm 46. It's a psalm that is filled with absolute chaos. But then suddenly in verse 10 of Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Life can sometimes be chaotic. Who sometimes feels they're riding a roller coaster and it's just not going to stop? Well, God says, "Be still and know that I am God. For He is our refuge and He is our strength." God also wants us to be optimistic. Be an optimist in a pessimistic world. I mean, I just love that elephant. It's trusting that the monkey is going to catch it on the trapeze. Lord help the monkey. But be optimistic. Today is a beautiful day, is it not? Every day is a gift from God. Even if it's overcast and it's stormy, it's still a day that God has made. And we must rejoice in it. Hope reminds us in 1 John 4 verse 4, it says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That's optimism. Yes, life is a battle. Yes, there are always challenges in life. Yes, we confront many, many wars with the devil. We might even confront things in our lives that are very challenging to us. But we need to remember that He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 4, "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." And there are some people out there that will say, "Oh, people misquote the scripture and they should be very careful how they use it." Well, I can tell you that person has never been through difficulty and struggle. That person has not experienced the challenges that Paul was experiencing, that the newborn Christians were experiencing in Philippi, that modern-day Christians, people who trust in Jesus, experience. But I can tell you that when you are in that place, when you think it's all over, when you're in that place and you think, I can do absolutely nothing, God reminds us that in Jesus, I can do all things. What we need to do when we find ourselves in that place of hopelessness, there are times that I want to run away. I just want to pack my bags and run away. Because I get sick and tired of this world. I get tired of the challenges. I get tired. But God's voice says, don't give up. He says, persevere. I like that Afrikaans word, vasbyt. Vasbyt. Don't give up. You see, hope reminds us in Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, what God does is that when we go through that difficult time and when we say, Lord, I want to give up, but Lord, I trust you. I'm going to hold on to your promises. I'm going to hold on to you, Jesus. God, by his grace, pours out his Holy Spirit upon us. And through that pouring out of his Holy Spirit, God produces perseverance, character, and hope in each one of us. But we mustn't forget that our struggles, our perseverance in God, that hope reminds us that we will receive eternal life. John 17 verse 3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. See, this morning we come to this table not because we are perfect. We come to this table this morning because we are reminded that we have a faithful and good God. We are reminded that when it seemed that there was no hope for this world, God sent his one and only Son to give his body and blood so that we may not be unrighteous, bad, ugly, but that we would become children of God. This is God's love for you and for me. This is God's hope for you and me in a world that is filled with challenges and difficulty. But remember, your struggle is God's struggle. Jesus understands your suffering. Jesus understands your hurt. But he promises you, if you hold on to him, that we shall have eternal life. Finally, Thomas Aquinas had these wise words. Thomas Aquinas defined hope as a future good, difficult but possible to attain by means of divine assistance on whose help it leans. Hope is always concerned with something in the future. Like the theological virtues of faith and charity, hope finds its origin, motive, and object in God. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, Paul the Apostle says, let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope. For he who made the promise is trustworthy. I close or would like you to think on these words: God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is in absolute control. And this is my hope. May I just share this short video with you as we close.
Where do you get real hope? Now, the reason we need hope is because we live on a broken planet. Nothing works perfectly. The weather doesn't work perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfectly. And because of that, you look around and see brokenness everywhere. The reason why people are hopeless today is because they're putting their hope in all the wrong things. And they're looking for hope in all the wrong places. If you put your hope in success or status or your salary or position, possession, privilege, power, popularity, every one of those things will disappoint you. You've got to put your hope in something that cannot be changed, and that is God's love for you. That's never going to stop. It's never going to change. You can exist for weeks without food. You can exist several days without water. You can exist a few seconds without air. But you can't live without hope. Hope keeps your soul alive. Hope is not some wishful thinking about the future. You need hope not because you're going to die tonight, but because you've got to get up tomorrow and live. Hope is personal trust in God. Hope is what you think God can do. Some of you have had a marriage fall apart. Some of you have lost a loved one. Things just haven't worked out the way you wanted them to. And you're starting maybe to feel sometimes a little hopeless. It'll never change. Where do you get real hope? Because God raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God.
This morning, put your faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I promise you that His hope does not disappoint. Keep your faith firmly in Him. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And thank you, Lord, that that solitary light on that event wreath teaches us that even in the darkest place that we may find ourselves, that the light and love of Jesus will always shine. And so may the light of your love and grace always shine upon us, Lord, and may we always have hope. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, I'm just going to ask Andre just to share with us, and then we'll pray for the SAPS.
Hello, hello. Just keep on speaking, just having hope that this mic will hopefully come on. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15 verse 13 is good to memorize that one. Thank you. It will be brilliant if you can do that. Amen. I think it was a very prophetic word this morning. You know, sometimes we look at the devastation around us, and I think that's what the Jews had a look at, the devastation around us. And sometimes when we go into the inner city, we look at the bit of a devastation as well, that Kempton Park didn't used to look like this. And now we would like to, and we have got hope that things will change. Amen. So part of that hope is to connect with the police station. And it's a privilege to have some of the leaders here with us this morning. Not all of them could make it. You know, I always feel sorry for these guys. They basically don't sleep. It's unbelievable to be a policeman in South Africa at this time. But we are privileged to have the Brigadier Ndlovu here with us and the Colonel Losomo. And then some of the other officers here with us. We really appreciate you guys being with us. Brigadier, will you come and stand here next to me? This is an incredible man. It's so great joy to work with him and to see what God's doing in his life. But, you know, we've got a vision, and that's the vision of the police station here. I don't know if the other police station's got a vision, but here's our vision. So, Brigadier, you know, maybe you just want a minute or two just share about that vision that there is for the station.
Thanks, Pastor. The vision statement for Kempton Park Police Station is to build strong relationship between SAPS, Kempton Park, the community, business, and other sectors in strengthening our hands to deliver a professional service. To ensure that prevention, combating, and investigating of serious and violent crimes are done effectively. To ensure that our members are working towards a crime-free area, society with excellence and integrity. That the station commander, management, and all employees of SAPS Kempton Park assist in the fighting of the plague of corruption in our station. To ensure that we do not fall our community, we do not fail our community and our partners and stakeholders, and so bring unity in the area. To ensure that the image of our station is continuously improving to the highest standard.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Thanks, Brigadier. We're going to get you guys up to pray now as well. Bless you. Can sit for a while. You know, guys, it's amazing, you know, that we as pastors and the community is getting around the police. And, you know, and the challenge is how can we walk with you to fulfill that? And part of that is we're challenging the police to sign a pledge. Colonel Losomo, would you just come and just maybe read the pledge? And I think if you read the pledge, you might be scared to think, I hope they're not going to ask me to sign it this morning because I might be in trouble. But this is the pledge they're signing.
We at Kempton Park Police Station solemnly pledge to uphold the highest standard of integrity and professionalism in all the role as law enforcement officers. We vow to sense our community with honesty, fairness, and dedication, ensuring equal protection and justice for all. We will never engage in corrupt practice, bribery, or abuse of power for personal gain or advantage. We understand that such actions not only undermine public trust, but also tarnish the reputation of law enforcement as a whole. We will always act with transparency, accountability, and respect for the rights and dignity of every individual, regardless of their background or circumstances. We will strive to build positive relationships with the community, fostering trust, cooperation, and mutual respect. We recognize the maintaining integrity as essential to fulfilling our duty to serve and protect. Therefore, we commit to continuous learning, ethical decision-making, and adherence to the highest ethical standard throughout our career. This pledge is not just a statement, but a commitment to walk the path of integrity and honor in service to my community and the law. The fear of the Lord lead to life. Then our rest content untouched by trouble. This comes from Proverbs 19, verse 23. Thanks a lot today, as we are here in this church with our pastors. We realize that we have already read our vision and our pledge. We know that in South Africa, we are talking about the 16 days of activism. This thing is started 1994 and is already 2024. It's almost 30 years. And we say today as the church, to say to the church, let's change the strategy. Starting from this 2024 until 2030, we said, let's have hope. Hope that can be able to talk about the help, the optimism, the perseverance, and internal life. I pass the test, Pastor. We are going to pray for this, for South Africa, saying this is 6 years. We are no longer going to talk about this. This thing is going to be there. We are going to put it there. We said we're going to put it, plug it at your fridge, put it at your bedroom, and pray for South Africa for a better life. We also said as Kempton Park Police Station under the leadership of Brigadier Ndlovu, we can't just come in the church without having anything. We say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and how can you be able to take good of your take care good and having hope in this December time. Also, we're going to have this pamphlet when we are getting out of the church. Thanks a lot, Pastor.
Just going back to the lighthouse status, you know, as a community and pastors, we're praying together there. You'll see there, just go a little bit back, you'll see there's a prayer room, just the one before this one. There's a prayer room at the police station praying for the police. We had a praying over there as well, just going towards the back. There's a prayer room at Kempton Park Police Station where we as pastors pray on a regular basis for the police, being committed to them. And then the lighthouse status, just the one before this one, is that we actually, the plague has not been put up yet, but as crime coming down and they becoming the best police station in Kempton Park, this is our vision. Kempton Park is going to be the greatest blessed station because of amazing staff over there. I love those guys. They are amazing. It's good to have friends with the police. I'm working on the Metro Police as well now, you know. But in any case, very good to have friends with them. But the status there is to see that they got lighthouse status rewarded from the community to them, number one, and to be the lowest crime station in South Africa for any police station. And then lastly, the signboard will be displayed in the front of the entrance, probably next year when the crime comes down, because we're praying, we do a hotspot praying. Listen, yeah, we pray and we move anybody that wants give trouble, we pray and we rebuke them in Jesus' name. The police are coming with us. They're standing on those areas where there's trouble, and then we pray up a storm. Amen. And God does amazing things. Can the police guys just come and stand here for us in the middle? Please, you guys, those that are here, come and stand here. We'd like as a church just to pray with you guys. We're going to get the elders of the church to come around. And if you guys on the side can just stand up and just place your hands towards it. These guys got a tremendous job in Kempton Park. And it's great to partner with them, that we know them by name and we pray for them personally as pastors in the community, and we want to see great things happening in our station. So if you guys can just stand, let's just pray and let's just commit them into the Lord's hands. Amen. 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 Father, we just want to rejoice. We rejoice with you what we sing this day. Men and women committed to see your will being done in this place. That today we want to say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Not only in Kempton Park Police Station, but in our community, right through our community. We commit these men and women in your hands, those that are here, the brigadier, the colonel, and every one of them standing here, Lord, representing and want to see victory, want to see breakthroughs in Kempton Park. So we want to commit the vision. We commit the pledge. Lord, let this be a realization. Next year, we trust you for the crime to keep on just falling down in Jesus' name. As we commit these men and women that they'll be successful, that they will stick to the pledge, that there is no corruption, no bribery, no nonsense, because that authority will be restored through them in our community, so that our prayers as a church can become effective, because we're praying for men and women of integrity. So we bless them with integrity this day in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the church say a big.
Amen.
Say a big.
Amen.
Say a bigger.
Amen.
Bless you guys. We love you. Let's just give them a group hack. Let's squeeze all the air out of them. You guys. Bless you. Bless you.
On all that's happened this morning, the word of God on hope, and as we've prayed for our officers, let's come before God and just bring to Him our offering.
Let us pray for our offerings. Father God, we are here again as your children. We want to thank you, Lord, for this day and the message that has come. Now that we are at this stage where we have to bring to you what you have given us, we are just bringing a small portion, Lord, for you to bless it and to be used in the furthering of your works and your love and your deeds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's always wonderful to come to the Lord's table. At his table, he reminds us of his love for us. As I said earlier, it's not about how good you've been. It's not about what you've done. It's all about His grace. Grace is defined as the unmerited favor of God. And so this morning, I welcome you to the Lord's table. And I pray that as we share in His body and His blood, that we will be reminded of who Jesus is. It says to us that on the evening of His arrest, or the evening on the eve before His arrest, that He stood at the table, He was enjoying a meal with his disciples, and then He said that He brought an order of how we should understand and what He has done for us. So it says that He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And then it says, after the meal, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Drink it, all of you, in remembrance of Me." And then He says, "By eating this bread and drinking this cup, you are reminded of My death and of My coming again in glory." And so on this first Sunday of Advent, let us put our hope in Jesus, who gave His life for you and me, but who is coming again. And so let us wait in hope for that coming. And so I take these elements of bread and of wine and separate them from their normal use to this holy use and mystery. Let us bow our heads and give thanks. Mighty God, we just thank You for Your grace and favor to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord, that Jesus is our hope. And thank You, Lord, for reminding us through this meal that when it seemed hopeless and there was no hope in the world, that our Savior Jesus Christ came and that He gave His body and His blood. And so, Lord, as we take these elements this morning of bread and of wine and separate them from their normal use to this holy use and mystery, I just pray, Lord, that we would sense the power of Your Holy Spirit upon us. May we know, Lord, that Jesus gave His life for us so that we may no longer live in fear, that we may no longer live under the bondage of sin and evil. But, Lord, we thank You that in Jesus, that we have a new life, that we have hope, that we have redemption. And Lord, I pray this morning that whoever we are, wherever we are seated this morning, or where whatever we may be experiencing in life this morning, Lord, I pray that as we enjoy this meal, Lord, that we will experience Your love, that we will experience Your healing, Lord, that we will just experience Your presence, and that we will be transformed to become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that Your grace will be upon us as we enjoy this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. And Scripture tells us that on the eve of His crucifixion, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body given for you." And after the meal, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Drink it, all of you, in remembrance of Me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we are reminded of His death and of His coming again in glory. Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world. Grant us Your peace. The body of Christ given for me. the blood of Christ shed for me. Can I ask the elders who are going to serve, please come forward. As we have been served by Christ, so now we go forth and serve you. And we pray that as you have been served, then you will go out into the world and serve the world for Jesus Christ. Body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. Drink it, all of you, in the precious name of Jesus.
bitter and broken come, with fears unspoken come, taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run, see what your God.
Jesus, we just thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you served each one of us in such a unique way on the cross of Calvary. And Lord Jesus, as we have been served by you, so I pray, Lord, that we will go out into the world and serve you. And I pray, Lord, that our lives may be a light to the world, that we may be the salt to the world. For Lord Jesus, you have granted us so much. And so we pray that we will go out and bring glory and honor to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there a final song?
Please stand as you sing the closing hymn.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest praise, but only trust in Jesus' name.
My hope,
my hope is built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest prayer. I only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone. Christ the Lord, God trumpet sound. Oh, they are there in the fire. There's in his righteousness, O Lord. God bless us, stand before the throne. Christ the Lord, God is Lord. We made strong in the Savior's blood. Through the storm, He's Lord, Lord of all.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we could share this time in your presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are very present with us. And we pray that as we go into this new week, that you will guide and protect us. And Lord, we pray that over this time of Advent and this festive season, that your grace and peace may be upon our police officers. And we pray as well that your peace and grace will be upon each and every one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us. Please join us for some tea and coffee and some fellowship afterwards. If you do need prayer, the elders will be here in front for you.
Please join us tonight, 6 o'clock, for our annual carol service. Thank you, people.
See that you love Jesus first. It's plain to see. And that you still love and gives on me. For in your eyes I see shining love that speaks so clear.
Starting right now, right here, in front of your eyes.